Hey, good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. If you're local, you're probably turning into 101.7 Street Level Radio, and if you're elsewhere, you're no doubt with us via the internet. Either way, we are glad that you are with us this evening. Each week, we come together here to review last Sunday's message and to deal with its time now in a dialogue. In small groups throughout our county, without beyond our surrounding counties even. This last Sunday was our annual church campout. We gathered for the weekend out at our church campground with our Duluth and our River Falls fellowship. Our message out there on Sunday was from Genesis 19 entitled, The Price of Compromise. Let's see if we can read our text together, okay? Genesis chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, reads, Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, No, but we'll spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly so that they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. And he said, Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. Then they said, This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were in the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. And then the men said to Lot, Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angel urged Lot to hurry, saying, Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And then Lot said to them, Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servants have found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy and have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little place. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry. Escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out into the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Let's pray before we go on, shall we, gang? Lord, as we now seek to look into the commentary of this chapter, we would ask that you would be the teacher, that you would open up our hearts and our mouths this time, and that we would speak into the context of what we have read as it applies to our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to do just that. We thank you for being here, and we praise your name. Amen. God had intervened into the life of Abraham. He had called him to do what I think we would think is the unthinkable, even in the greater religious realm of our day. It was a time of great immorality and carnality and even rebellion against the Creator. A time where, like today, one might feel that God is very much far away, that he is removed from active engagement in our culture. Yet God found and he called out this Abraham, telling him, Abraham, get out of your country, get away from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In other words, Abraham, I want you to remove yourself from the comforts and the pursuits of this world and this life, and I want you to go where I lead you. He was being called not just out of the world, but into the breach, into a life of full impact of ministry and mission, a life of mobility, one of really a temporary situation, a life of discomfort in so many ways, a life where there would be no security, there would be no pleasures of this world. When Abraham left on this journey, his nephew Lot joined him. Now, I spoke in length about that fact on Sunday, and time would prevent me from elaborating on it once again. But from what we know, Lot was not particularly committed to God. It was apparently simply the best thing going on at that time, and so Lot tagged along. Eventually, Abraham and Lot would separate ways due to conflict, due to the stress between them. Surprise, surprise. Abraham then went on to Canaan, and Lot would move to the cities and to the wickedness of the Jordan Valley. While still a confessing believer, Lot would now move closer and closer to Sodom. First within sight of Sodom, and then to Sodom's door. And finally, he would move into Sodom itself. And that's what sin and compromise does. So despite the wake-up calls that God sent his way, Lot simply refused to pull up. Even the wake-up calls that God had sent his way, Lot refused still to pull up. Even then, he had not rejected the understanding of his Creator, nor the importance of practicing his religion on some level. Yet he clearly had drifted away from a God-first lifestyle, if he ever knew that kind of life even to begin with. His head was still with God on some level, but his heart was on Sodom. As always is the case, eventually, Lot would run out of time. His day of reckoning would come. His day of ultimate choice would come. When a time came to defend the two angels from a mob that sought to homosexually molest them, Lot stepped up and tacitly, albeit sheepishly, tried to defend them. But his life of compromise was firmly entrenched within him at this point, and it seemed to be willing now, he seemed to be willing now to give anything in order to remain in the middle. One foot in both worlds, if you will. And when the angels of the Lord said, Lot, you have to leave, and you have to leave right now, Lot hesitated as he had 1,000 times before. You see, that's how Lot had handled things. That's the way he had always handled things. Clearly, he and his wife and all of his family really didn't want to go. His attempts, Job's attempts here to compromise, his wife's attempts to compromise, they still continued. Lot attempted now to negotiate himself out of the direct path that God had laid before him, out of God's explicit path for him. Even as the rain and a fire in the form of sulfur fell, Lot's wife was still trying to both rescue herself from the catastrophe while still holding on to the pleasures of the world of Sodom. It was blindness beyond all sense, and the angel warned them to run away, to not look back, but this is where their life had taken them. Now they were in the middle between life and death. No matter how they chose, which way they chose to go, it wasn't going to be easy. In fact, it was going to be messy. Lot's wife hesitated. She was torn between two different lives. Now Satan, the master of deception, was engaging the both of them. You know, the problem with Satan is he so oftentimes will allow us to have just enough Jesus to defend our walk, to hedge our bet, to protect us from the pain and the sorrow. But listen, all that is just a lie, because he's not only the king of lies, he's the king of compromise. So he's the one who's drawing us in to that lifestyle. This would be the end of everything for Lot, and it would indeed cost Lot's wife everything, just as it will for us today. After such a horrific experience, Lot's life would still only go from bad to worse. After such a horrific experience, Lot's life would just keep going on in the direction it was going. So instead of repentance, instead of restoration, it just kept going. Now towards the end of chapter 19, we're going to find Lot living in a cave, above this town of Zoar. And he was living there with what little bit of his family that he had left, and he slid even further and further into decline. His two living daughters, having been corrupted by a life of living in the world and its spiritual pollution, they now came up with a plan to control the future and to control their lives. And that is ultimately what we're all after, the ability to have some hand in our future. And now, because there was no dating apps yet, and certainly there was no available men around, they decided to go get their dad drunk and then have sex with him, if you can imagine it, with the goal of becoming pregnant. And sadly, they were successful. Two boys, Moab and Ammon, would be the result of this great sin. And the years that would follow, they would see the Moabites and the Ammonites as a plague. Horror after horror would occur, all because these two women wanted to take control and they wanted to have things their own way. Lot and his wife, she's gone. Lot and his family now are just left, like so many of us today who have the incredible ability to go through sermon after sermon, but never have a genuine conversion. an authentic surrender of one's life to the control of his or her creator. They never make that step. As I shared on Sunday, Psalms 103 verse 9 says that God will not always strive with us. Look, there will be a day of judgment for those of us who refuse the way of escape that he offers us. We are reminded today that where your heart is, there will your treasure be, or rather, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know, I spoke on Sunday about the children of Israel and how they eventually crossed the Jordan River and they fought the battles of the promised land. Yet 2.5 tribes went back across that river once the major battles had been fought. They thought everything was okay. They thought they could now lay down their arms. Now they could engage in the world and all that the world had to offer. And just like Lot's daughters, it worked for a while. Eventually, though, they would begin to culturally and socially and spiritually develop differently than the others on the promised land side of the river. The 2.5 tribes thought that as long as they were close, as long as they were close to the others, they would be okay, like osmosis or something. Now, that situation is still in play today. People who are involved in church, people who are committed to the whole purposes of God, they inevitably develop differently in their Christian walk, i.e. Abraham, than those who simply come to Sunday and try to live a good life, i.e. Lot. You know, it takes a long while, I think, but eventually the signs begin to manifest. Oh, yes, those in the moderate camp, those who crossed back over the river to pursue the world, the money and comfort, they never see it, and I'd be willing to bet they don't see it today. They're blind to this matter. In fact, they don't think there's a problem at all. They are, after all, better off than those terrible sinners who are out there in the world, those terrible sinners in Sodom. But you see, those individuals are comparing themselves to the wrong people. You know, we are foolish today to think we can straddle the line between the kingdom of God and the world, and yet so many of us are attempting to do just that. The lessons of history are not remembered. Gang, we need to remember. We need to have a definite border between the world and us. And as we mentioned on Sunday, the 2.5 tribes would later be the first to fall to the enemy, just like Lot and his family did. They would lose, well, everything. All because they tried to walk in the middle. All because they wanted the world and God. All because they compromised. They failed.